It is Friday, February 8th, 2013. Governor Rick Snyder takes pride in talking about Michigan's brightening economy. The governor laid out a $50 billion spending plan yesterday that was higher than last year's. It calls for spending increases in education, health care, and public safety, among other areas. The administration also calls for higher gasoline and diesel taxes and vehicle registration fees to help pay for over $1 billion in repairs to Michigan roads that the governor wants. And joining us today on Current State, the lead author of that spending plan, Michigan State Budget Director John Nixon. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to see you. And also joining us, East Lansing State Rep Sam Singh of the 69th House District. Sam is the only mid-Michigan rep on the House Appropriations Committee. Welcome back, Sam.
Thank you.
Director Nixon, from 5 miles up, what were your key parameters for this budget? I mean, what limits, what boundaries did you know you wanted to stay within?
Well, as far as the budget, we just wanted to create a budget. We wanted to stay within our available revenue, but we also knew there were some big issues that we needed to tackle. We knew that with the Medicaid expansion that we're recommending support of, the Affordable Care Act is coming. We knew that a decision needed to be made there. As far as road funding, we knew that we needed to do something bold there as well. And then we wanted to make education and higher education some priorities in the budget as well. So we took our available means that we had and we crafted the best budget proposal that we could. It's several months of looking at the data, looking, you know, doing analysis on the budget, and we think we've come up with a very, very well thought out budget for the future of Michigan.
But was, for example, a bump in education spending, was that on your radar months ago? I mean, did you know months ago that you'd be able to pull this off?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. I mean, when we came in 2 years ago, we were facing perpetual deficits, growing liabilities, and we made some tough decisions. And the reason we made the tough decisions that year was so we could get the budget in equilibrium so we could start making strategic investments back in the system. And education certainly at the top of that list with higher education, some of these other programs.
Representative Sam Singh, you called for a bump in early childhood, K-12, and higher education. You got one. Are you satisfied?
Well, I think when we take a look at the overall budget, it's a mixed bag. There are definitely a number of positive things, and I always like to lead off with that, especially when you take a look at early childhood funding as well as the expansion of Medicaid that was proposed here. And, you know, we know that Obamacare is going to be here, and we're pleased that the governor has listened to the advocates who've been asking for these types of changes. When we take a look at the other parts of the budget, especially the K through 12, as well as the higher education budget, you know, we took extreme cuts 2 years ago, and we're not back at that baseline. And I think we could have done more within this budget and looking at our priorities for K through 12 and higher education funding.
John Nixon, what specific considerations finally determined that it would be 2%? For education. Can you go a little deeper there with us?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you bring together the budget, it's really tough. When you have to put together a complete budget plan that we do, and again, we do it all at once, you've got to look at all the priorities, and you're bound by the revenue that you have. And so when you put together, you've got the issues with your current services baseline, you've got the issues that you know you've got to fund and take care of in the budget, and then you look at what you have available to spend and you prioritize your spending. And so we didn't go into the budget saying we want a 2% increase in education. We went into the budget saying, you know, we want to meet the obligations that we need to meet. We want to increase education funding. We want to increase as much as we can. And so as we put the budget together, we decided that that's where we wanted to spend the money, and we made those investments, and we came up with the budget we did.
But increasing education, could you say increasing education funding was on your short list of priorities?
I can say it was at the top of our short list of priorities.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was right at the top, for sure.
You said on Wednesday that $130 million more funding for the Great Start Readiness Program would more than double the number of at-risk four-year-olds that are enrolled in public preschools. To what extent would that increased investment cover at-risk preschoolers in the state? Is that just a very modest increase, or is that a significant move in the right direction?
No, a lot of people felt like the need out there that was unmet is about $130 million. And so we actually put $65 million in this year's budget, $65 million in next year's budget for a fully loaded $130 million ongoing for next year. So we felt like we made a huge step in the right direction there, as that will help these kids who are at risk be able to perform better in the K-12 system.
Sam, saying, care to comment?
Well, no, I do agree. I mean, I think this was a good first step. Obviously, we could have been bolder taking a look at the need that's right here in the first year. But again, I think we have to take a look at the comprehensive part. We are, especially as you take a look at the business tax cuts that happened 2 years ago, one of my critiques is that, you know, we gave blanket tax cuts to all these businesses, and not all of them are actually creating jobs. You know, I take a look at law firms as being one of the biggest things that I look at. One of my friend's firms would have paid $1.2 million worth of taxes, you know, under this recent year. But because they're LLC, they don't pay any business taxes. And unfortunately, those dollars aren't going into education. So we've made some budgetary decisions and some taxing decisions, including the income tax reduction last year, which could have been going towards higher education, K-12 education. Business Leaders of Michigan, you know, came up with a report that says we're $1 billion short over the next 10 years on higher education. So if we really want to position our universities and our kids in a global economy, we need to be investing at a higher level. And I think some of the decisions that we've made over the last 2 years have not necessarily created new jobs and hasn't invested in positioning our universities in a global economy.
John Nixon, what do you make of that critique?
Well, I think it's easy to pick out and isolate one issue. But when we came in, you know, we were facing a billion and a half dollar structural deficit. Michigan was broke. We had a tax system that wasn't working. We had a job-killing business tax. We had a taxation system where those who were benefiting from the system weren't paying into the system. And so we had to reset the table, and we knew we had to make some tough decisions. And so we came in, we put the budget in structural balance, we started reforming our long-term liabilities, which ultimately will create a long-term structurally sustainable path for Michigan. We know that it's going to take some time to get there, but we think that we've now got a tax system that will create jobs. Things are improving that we're seeing out there, and we have an improving economy. And that's why we're able to make some strategic investments this year.
We're talking with State Budget Director John Nixon and East Lansing State Rep Sam Singh here on Current State on WKAR. For higher ed, the budget again contains a provision that calls for colleges and universities to hold tuition increases to under 4% next fiscal year, as well as meet performance standards for graduation rates, research and development, et cetera, or lose part of their state aid. Are you okay with that, Sam Singh?
Well, I think we do need to have tuition constraint, and it's one of the metrics. And I do believe that some of the metrics that have been created are a good step forward for universities. But again, you have to go back. We made our public universities take a 15% cut 2 years ago. They got a 3% increase last year, a 2% increase on that this year. We're not even back to that base level. And again, we have to invest more dollars. Every year we don't invest in higher education means our institutions are less competitive than others across the country. And to me, that's the large conversation. Even when we get into some of the details, you know, graduate medical education, you know, we're here at Michigan State University. We've got, you know, two great, you know, medical schools. And we've zeroed out that budget here in the governor's plan. I know from the Appropriations Committee, they were successful last time putting it back in. You know, I'm going to be fighting for that as well within this budget. But again, we know we have a shortage of doctors and nurses as we take a look at that, and we should be investing in areas like that type of revenue.
Care to comment specifically about
higher
ed?
I don't know if we zeroed out graduate medical education. Certainly there are some tough choices that have to be made. Again, when we came in, we couldn't afford the path that we were on. And so as we're building the budget now, we're making those investments back in. Would we have liked to have done more in higher education? Absolutely. But we're in a position where the pie's only so big. And so again, it's easy to pick out one area and say we need more money. I mean, you know what, we've got a lot of people out there who, a lot of people think we've gone too far. There are a lot of people who think we haven't gone far enough. Would we like to do more? Absolutely. But I think the key here is that as we're investing money back in the system, we're doing it tied to outcomes. No longer are we just spreading money to spread money. You know, we've got performance funding in the K-12 system. We've got performance money, best practice money in the higher education system. Same thing with state agencies, our revenue sharing. And what these do is they help bend long-term cost trends. And so we're actually, you know, pretty proud with what we've come up with. We know that it's a long-term process. We didn't get into the problem that we got into overnight. Neither did the governor or I create the problem. But we certainly think we're trying to solve a problem and deal with the state of Michigan finances and put it on a long-term path that's going to create jobs and provide a stable living environment for our Michiganders.
Now, the administration also calls for raising gas and diesel fuel taxes from 19 cents a gallon to 33 cents. It's been years since either of those have been touched. The governor also wants an increase in vehicle registration fees. John Nixon, how much of that $1.2 billion the administration would like to see going to roads would those increases pay for?
That's the whole package.
That's $1.2 billion.
Yeah, the revenue is basically a gas and diesel tax increase and the registration fee increase. And that's a critical increase. As you know, it's not a real politically popular thing to do. But again, as we've looked at the infrastructure in our state, we haven't invested in the infrastructure over the past many, many years. Our roads are not the best roads out there. We lose lives on our roads every year. And we're losing $3 million a day in the value of our roads because we're not keeping them up. In 10 years, we're going to have a failed system. We're not going to be able to move people around and move goods around. And so we know the decisions the governor is making today are based upon long-term benefits for the state. They're not politically popular today. But in 10 years, when we have a robust transportation system, whoever's governor is going to be happy that we've made the decisions we made today.
Representative Sam Singh, how do your constituents feel about those increases?
Well, I'm open to the conversation on road funding. I think last time I was here, we talked about the need to take a look at our roads and our bridges and see the larger investment. It's an economic development imperative, but at the same time, we have to do it in a balanced way. You know, we're talking about registration fees that are going to potentially hit some of our low-income and moderate-income people significantly. They've already taken hits in these last 2 years. You know, my seniors are paying now on their pensions. I've got people who are working 2-3 jobs who used to get an earned income tax credit at 20% of the federal level. That's now only getting it at 6%. And so they've all taken significant hits to be able to help the budget over the last 2 years, and I don't want to overly burden them. And so I'll be ready to have a conversation. I don't think the exact proposal that's been presented will be there, but I've also seen extreme measures. The Senate's already been talking about raising the sales tax, which is a very regressive tax. And so we're going to take a look at all the options that are out there, but my key consideration is that we don't burden middle class and families who've taken a huge hit over the last 2 years based on the decisions of this administration.
Democrats hammer, I don't think that's too hard a word, this administration's passage of a huge business tax cut and tax increases on pensions, cuts to education, the earned income tax credit. Could it be said that focusing on the business tax cut, as significant as it was, still conveniently overlooks the fact that the worst recession since the Great Depression preceded the business tax cut by several years, and moreover, that Michigan started its jobs decline quite a few years before that. Is it fair to hammer on that business tax cut the way members of your party do?
Well, we did. We had a very difficult decade as a state. We took significant cuts in revenue sharing to local communities. K-12 suffered. Higher education suffered. But the question came forward is this a job creator? And I've not seen the metrics from this administration to show that this is actually a job creator. I'm a pro-business Democrat. I've supported changes of the Michigan business tax. I didn't think it was a good tax when it was created a number of years ago. So I think we could have made changes. I would have been more supportive of actually giving tax credits to businesses that were hiring individuals instead of doing this blanket tax cut. I go back to lobbyists, I go back to law firms, I go to accountants who are not hiring new people, but they got a blanket tax cut from their business taxes. I'd rather have that revenue in the system helping our local communities who've cut firefighters and police officers. We need to be investing in those communities. We need to be investing in higher education. So if we could have done a business tax cut, I would have supported the governor and anybody who's interested in a tax cut to businesses increases that were creating jobs, but not blanket tax cuts that we don't necessarily see any long-term results on. Again, do these law firms need this tax cut? No. I would say that we should rather have those dollars and resources actually put into our schools, into our local community, so we can get the firefighters back to the level that we need, the public safety at the levels that we want as a state of Michigan.
Anything to that criticism, John Nixon?
Yeah, I mean, let me kind of, you know, I'd like to set the record straight. Everybody keeps talking that we've cut education. We're actually investing more in K-12 than I mean, when we started, we've actually added money to the K-12 budget. We're increasing, we've reformed the liabilities. We saved the education system hundreds of millions of dollars because of what we've done. And so to say that we've cut education, I don't think is totally genuine. I know that message is out there, but I can show you the per pupil spending in the K-12 system when we started and where it is in our recommendation today. It is true that some of these areas that we had to cut to bring the budget into balance, but when you look at the tax system, businesses aren't going to come to an unstable tax environment. We had $1.5 billion annual deficit. We get money from our people. We take that very seriously. And when they don't know that government, when they don't have confidence in government, I mean, look at where Illinois is right now. They don't know how much their taxes are going to have to be raised. Businesses are not coming to that state. Businesses like to know that they have a stable environment to operate in. And so having a structurally balanced budget, having a tax system that makes sense, that's simple, fair, and efficient, provides economic stability. Now, I think it's a little bit disingenuous, too, to basically say, you've been here 2 years, you haven't added hundreds of thousands of jobs. I mean, how long it took us 8 years to get to where we got to, and now we're rebuilding the system. It's going to take some time to work out of this. But you know what? Things are improving. Unemployment rate's down. We're adding jobs, and we're making progress in this state.
One legislative question for Representative Sam Singh here. Speaker Bolger said yesterday that Republicans will not pass any bill requiring women to undergo transvaginal probes before an abortion. What did you make of that?
I mean, I was surprised that it even got brought up. You know, you would have thought that this, my Republican colleagues in the House would have learned their lessons from what was happening nationally and what they did over the last 2 years to women's rights and women's reproductive rights. You know, for trying to do something this divisive is inappropriate and wrong for that legislation to be brought forward. You know, I was pleased to hear the Speaker's comments on that this isn't something that's going to be moved forward, but it was, again, another shameful, throwaway to right to life by a handful of representatives, and I'm pleased that Speaker Bolger finally stood up to right to life and said, no, we're not going to have this kind of extreme legislation in our state.
Was that a conscious attempt, in your view, to appease members of your party here in the very pretty fractious atmosphere following Right to Work?
Well, I don't know. I've not had a chance to speak to the Speaker in regards to his motivation. I'm just taking him at his word that this is bad legislation. It does nothing for women and women's health, and it was just bad legislation. So if there was another reason for it, I'd have to wait for him to tell me that. But again, it was bad legislation in the country where it was looked at before, and I'm pleased that it's off the table. And it's, you know, it's time for us to stand up to extreme groups that want to push an extreme agenda on women's rights.
This has been a great, productive segment. We appreciate both of you being here. State Budget Director John Nixon, thank
Our
you.
Pleasure.
All right. Representative Sam Singh, we'll see you again soon.
Great. Thank
All
you.
Right.
Thank you.